Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. This is Doug Johnson. On our show this week, we remember Ray Charles and his music. And we answer a question about Father's Day. But first, we connect you with something called the Payphone Project.
I'm in the phone booth, it's the one across the hall. If you don't answer, I'll just ring it off the wall. I know he's there, but I just had to call.
Don't leave me hanging on the telephone.
The use of wireless telephones has reduced the demand for public payphones. Yet these coin-operated phones have helped one man find a calling to serve other people. Faith Lapidus has more.
Mark Thomas has been interested in payphones since he was a child. Now, he has created a site on the internet that lists the telephone number and location of payphones around the world. He calls it the Payphone Project. Mr. Thomas says he is far from having a list of all the public payphones in the world, but he does have more than 500,000 numbers already. These include a payphone at the Vatican and another in Vietnam, at Tan Son Nhut International Airport. There is even a number listed for a payphone in Uganda powered by the sun. Mark Thomas started his website in 1995. He wanted to give strangers a way to talk to each other just by calling payphones across the United States. But now most payphones block incoming calls. In time, he recognized another purpose for his site. Some people know the number of a payphone through caller identification devices, but they need to know the location. The Payphone Project once helped the parents of a teenage girl who ran away from home. It has also helped people find where threatening calls came from. Mark Thomas is an artist who lives in New York City. He plays piano in concerts. He does not have time anymore to call number after number in the hope to connect with someone somewhere. But he wants his payphone list to continue to grow as a public service. Telephone companies are not required to provide this kind of information, but many other payphone number collectors have sent in listings. Some people include pictures and comments about the phone. So, the next time you see a public payphone, you might want to write down the number and location. Then, visit the website to see if the phone is listed. You might be able to add another number to the list. The site is payphone-project.com. Again, that address is payphone-project.com.
Our VOA listener question this week comes from Balchik, Bulgaria. Boyan Mitev asks about Father's Day in the United States. In 1909, a woman named Sonora Dodd was listening to a speech in church. The speech was about Mother's Day. Mrs. Dodd thought about her father, William Smart. He had fought in the American Civil War. Later, his wife died while giving birth to their sixth child. Mr. Smart raised the baby and his five other children. They lived on a farm in Washington State in the Pacific Northwest. Sonora Dodd wanted a special day to honor men like her father. He was born in June, so she decided to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, in June of 1910. 14 years later, in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge gave his support to the idea of a national observance. In 1972, finally, President Richard Nixon signed a law to establish Father's Day. An old tradition on Father's Day was for people to wear a flower. Red roses honored fathers who were living. White flowers honored those who were dead. Father's Day is observed on the third Sunday in June. This Sunday, some families will go out for a special meal or prepare one at home. Many dads will get clothes or maybe some electronic gift. Or they might simply get a card with a message of thanks. Ray Charles was one of America's most influential musicians. He died last week at the age of 73. Jim Tedder looks at the life of this showman who crossed the lines of jazz, blues, country, and rock.
Ray Charles Robinson was working as a musician by the age of 15. This was after he studied music at a school for the blind. Ray Charles developed glaucoma as a young child. The eye disease blinded him at age 7. His first hit record was a song he wrote with a mix of black church music, blues, and rock and roll. He sang it and played it on the electric piano. The song is called What I Say.
Tell me what I say. Tell me what I say. Tell me what I say. Tell me what I say right now. Tell me what I say. Yeah. Tell me what I say. Cause I wanna know. Say I wanna know right now.
Ray Charles became one of the top singers of rhythm and blues. Then he decided to record an album of country songs. Record company officials did not think it would be very successful. They were wrong. This song earned a Grammy Award.
I can't stop loving you.
Made up my mind to live in memories of the lonesome time.
I can't.
to say. So I'll just live my life in dreams of yesterday. Those happy hours that we once knew, though long ago, they still make me blue. They say that time.
Over the years, Ray Charles won 13 Grammy Awards. He was one of the first artists honored in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He made more than 60 albums. Ray Charles was preparing to begin a new series of concerts this month, but he had health problems recently. We leave you with another of his best-known recordings, America the Beautiful.
And you know, when I was in school, we used to sing it something like this. Listen here.
Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountains. Majesties over the fruited plain.
But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
This is Doug Johnson. I hope you enjoyed American Mosaic. Join us again next week for VOA's radio magazine in special English. This program was written by Jill Moss and Nancy Steinbach. Paul Thompson was the producer, and our engineer was Zinab Abdulrahman.
Beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self their country loved?